tried to explain the British Constitution in bed last night. Call me frivolous, but I want something rather more.
You really think I don't love you?
You love politics and power.
I love you.
You've never said it before. Divorce me. Get your friends in Parliament to pass a bill. Marry someone who can give you an heir.
I don't want someone else. I want you.
Prove it.
This is such wonderful news, Cora. The one thing in the world I lack, the one joy I wanted. But you must lie down.
I'm with child, Planty, not ill. The Duke of Omnium and the Gerstler woman?
If I had a pound for every woman my uncle made advances to...
Oh, but this one is 36 and has no children yet.
And the Duke has more bastards scattered about the country than the Queen has bishops. So why would he marry this woman for hers?
Because she isn't one of his simpering empty heads. What if she makes marriage a condition of getting his hands on her and they have a child? That child will rob you and our child of his inheritance.
You really think that
I
you...
know it.
Then we must stop it.
Yes.
I'm going back to Prague tomorrow.
No, you're not. I want you to marry me. But only if you want. Do you? Still?
After everything I have just told you.
Yes. Will you? Marry me, Marie. Please.
The Palaces, dramatised by Mike Harris. Based on the novels by Anthony Trollope.
And so time has passed, at least for the living. But for me there is no time, or perhaps too much of it. I have the whole of my life with Palliser to watch again and again and again. But I'm outside it. As if on a railway platform, watching through the windows of a packed train as it slowly trundles past towards triumph and disaster, wanting to make it stop or alter course, running by its side, knocking on the windows and shouting encouragement or warnings, but no one sees or hears. It's now the 1880s, and yet more political crisis. Neither Mr. Gresham for the Liberals, nor Mr. Daubney for the Tories, can command the confidence of Parliament. So, the Queen calls on a man of little ambition, but impeccable principles, to create a viable coalition before the people turn against the system altogether.
I'm to form a government, Cora.
You're joking, I assume.
No, it's true, I'm afraid.
Oh, Plantagenet Palliser! Let me hug you. Oh, you were born for this, and so was I. Oh, you did accept.
With great reluctance.
What?
There are better men.
No, there aren't. Wait, where are you going?
To see if Finn thinks the thing is even possible.
Since we last met, Phineas Finn has become Palliser's most trusted adviser. But even he has doubts.
Backbenchers are taking bets, Planty. 2-1 against any coalition lasting a week, even if you manage to form one.
Which is why I need someone I can trust in the Commons. I mean, I can't run the whole thing from the Lords, so I was rather hoping that you...
No. You've got to get a Tory deputy, or it's a non-starter.
Daubney won't serve.
Of course. He's waiting for you to fail.
Well, who then?
Orlando Drought.
He's livid because the Queen asked me instead of him.
So he'll wreck everything unless you offer him the plum. Get him and a lot of Tories might follow.
Persuasion isn't my strong suit.
And Miss Cora, Drought's always had a soft spot.
Will you at least be my Chancellor?
No. Monk's your man for that. He'll bring our Radicals with him.
But what about you? I need you close by.
Give me Ireland again. I'll be near enough in a crisis. And no one will be jealous of the poisoned chalice.
And while Finn helped my husband form his cabinet, I asked his wife, Marie, to be in mine.
Why, Cora?
Because when you get the reins in your hand, you have to keep them there. Morty?
Please.
And the problem with Planty is he's too...
principled.
Touchy and, well, stiff. There. So he's going to need me, and I certainly need you.
To?
Be my deputy.
In what?
The real government.
And what is this real government going to do?
Entertain on a scale that'll make Buckingham Palace look second rate.
To what end?
To distract them from their own divisions.
Planty hates show.
So I can do all the flattering and bribing that he simply won't.
And he despises deceit.
Which is why I'm not going to tell him.
And extravagance.
But he won't get the bills till I've proved the value and... you think I'm insane, don't you?
No, but I see my job as keeping you from going to extremes.
This, from a woman who had once done something so extreme, I hesitate to remind you.
Is that yes?
I need to think.
Marie, we need to start now, or there might not even be a coalition. So?
Yes, then.
I suppose.
Good.
So, we invite all Palace's potential...
Now, at this juncture, if I thought she could hear me, I'd whisper in the ear of my younger self, no, don't. It's all going to end badly, and when I say badly, I mean worse than you could possibly imagine, Cora. But she can't hear me. Believe me, I've tried. So let's move on to the first banquet I gave as the Prime Minister's wife.
The Right Honourable Sir Orlando Drought.
Orlando, my love, you are aware that Planty doesn't really want to be PM.
Then why the hell did he accept?
The Queen asked. He thought it was his duty, you know what he's like. But he'd be much happier being a figurehead in the Lords while you run the country from the Commons.
Are you sure?
He told me. So why don't you be a sweetie and
Patrick
do that?
Monk.
Paddy, darling, I hear you're still dithering about being Chancellor, but just think of all those marvellous things you could buy for Ireland when you get your hands on the Imperial
Israel
money bags.
Leader of Her Majesty's Opposition.
Israel, darling, I do hope you're going to give Planty's coalition time to fail properly, because you know he's only keeping the front benches warm for your inevitable return. And if you pull the plug now, Gresham might come back rather than you.
The Honourable Robert and Mrs. Rowe.
And thus the coalition was formed. And if it didn't fall apart immediately, I liked to think it was because my members were like rabbits, dazzled in the path of my unmissable social events.
Mr. Ferdinand Lopez of Coutts Trading and Finance.
A young, swarthily handsome city trader, with a haunting look of my first lost love, Burgo Fitzgerald, with whom, you may recall, I almost ran away after only a year of marriage to Planty.
So how did an English gentleman like yourself come to have such a deliciously exotic name, Mr. Lopez?
No, Cora, don't. Not him. It's a mistake.
I was born and educated here, Your Grace.
But I did.
Call me Cora.
I always did.
It's just that my father was Portuguese. And Jewish, unfortunately. Cora.
Why do you say unfortunately?
Some think Portuguese and Jewish disqualify me.
From?
Being considered an English gentleman?
A wicked nonsense. Daubney is Jewish by birth, and Prince Albert was a German, for heaven's sake.
The father of my young lady doesn't agree.
He's standing in the way?
He's forbidden her to see me.
And the girl loves you very much, of course.
He favours a different suitor.
Who she presumably doesn't love.
But he's the right sort.
And she's thinking of throwing you over. Gosh, this is like a novel.
She's holding out for now, but she's an obedient girl. Her mother died when she was small, and she loves her father to a fault.
Who is this tyrant?
That's the other difficulty.
What is?
I want to go into parliamentary politics.
And so you should. You're just the sort we need. We've got too many lawyers and lords and old Etonians.
Emily's father's a lawyer and an old Etonian, and will be a baron in due course, and he'd almost certainly block me.
Then as a liberal, he should be even more ashamed of himself.
He's a Tory.
You want to be a Tory MP? Oh, dear.
No, I'm liberal. Rather a radical one at that.
Oh, good. So am I. The people must be raised up. If that can be arranged without pulling us down. But I'm lost. How can he stop you from being a liberal MP?
Because he's just joined your husband's coalition.
Then he's here.
Over there. With your husband?
Oh, not Orlando Drought.
I'm afraid so.
Is your young lady here too?
No. Her father found out I was coming with Coutts.
Shall I call on her?
To what end?
To stiffen her resolve.
I'm not sure Sir Orlando would...
You wouldn't know. Well, consider it done. Now, I presume you want to get into the Commons as soon as possible.
Yes, of course.
Because there's a by-election coming up in Silverbridge, at my husband's family seat. But since he went to the Lords, he always nominates someone, pays the expenses, and hey presto, he's elected. The Tories don't even bother standing. Would you like me to suggest you?
Why, yes. That would be...
Excellent. Now, I must press less charming flesh, Mr. Lopez.
Ferdinand, please.
But you will be invited again, Ferdinand. With or without Mr. Coutts. And I'll report back on my husband's response, which I'm sure will be positive.
Daubeny told me that he won't be putting forward a no-confidence vote yet, which is a relief. And Monk came on board tonight. Would you unclip my collar, please, Cora? But Finn's still insisting on taking Ireland.
No.
Why?
He can't.
Why not?
He'll take Marie with him.
Ow!
There.
Well, why shouldn't he?
Because I need her here.
Well, he'll be in London as much as Dublin, and Marie needn't go with him every time.
She won't, because I won't have it. Now, come to bed, Clancy.
You want something?
Oh, only a small thing.
Well.
Have you got anyone for Silverbridge yet?
No, Cora. I've been busy trying to form a government. Please don't tell me you've promised to someone already.
Of course not.
Don't. I'm going to be Prime Minister of a coalition. I can't be seen to favour one party over another.
But Planty...
No, Cora. Local people nominate your man. That's their business. Now, can we go to sleep?
Now, having virtually promised Palliser's official blessing to Ferdinand, I felt I had to at least keep my pledge to see young Emily Drought.
The Duchess of Omnium is here, Miss Emily.
What? Are you sure? I don't know her.
And she doesn't know you. But I sincerely hope we shall soon know each other very well.
Your father's in the Commons discussing coalition things with my husband, and I don't know how long they'll be, so I... May I sit?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Your Grace.
Now, to business. Do you truly love Ferdinand Lopez?
I...
Yes or no?
Yes, but my father...
Ferdinand told me. What about this other suitor?
Oh, his name is Arthur Fletcher.
Do you love him?
I've known him since we were little, but I don't think so.
If you don't think so, you don't. Trust me. So, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I'll tell you. You are going to hold out for love. Don't be browbeaten. Promise me you won't give in.
I promise. I truly promise.
Good girl.
And so, whilst dancing with Ferdinand at a ball I was holding for the rising young stars in both parties, I told him I had encouraged Emily before giving him the bad news about Silverbridge.
Yeah, I'm afraid my husband won't be sponsoring anyone at this election.
Oh.
But I hope you'll still stand.
Yes, of course. But would I have to pay the election expenses? If I got the nomination, I mean.
Yes, but that shouldn't be hard for a city man.
No, of course not.
Well, the deadline's coming up. Get your nomination papers in. Oh, where did you learn to dance so divinely?
So, would you keep trying to break the windows of that trundling train and repeat warnings to yourself that no one can hear? Or would you admit defeat and allow it to take its course, letting mistake after mistake shape the older, wiser woman you fondly think you eventually become? While you are pondering that, follow me to Dublin Castle, where I have to listen once again to what my closest friends really think of me.
And do you think her imperial coroness will let you stay here long enough to finish dinner this time, Marie?
Do you see what I mean?
I told her I'd be here at least a week.
More yourself?
Please. She really needs me, you know.
And I don't.
Well, someone has to keep her in check.
Do you see?
Unlike me.
Yes, and that's praise.
Are you sure I'm safe?
Are you planning a coup?
No.
Good, because Drought certainly is, and Daubeny, of course. And although Gresham pretends he's supporting Planty from the backbenches, he's just biding his time. So Planty's policy of doing nothing makes perfect sense because it provides fewer opportunities for division.
Mm. Doing nothing in Ireland isn't an option. Something has to be done, or we'll be drowning in blood again.
Well, get Cora on side first.
When was she ever elected to anything, Marie?
And when could she have been Mr. Phineas Finn, given that we aren't allowed to stand or vote?
If she feels slighted, she'll work against you. And you really don't want that.
No, Phineas Finn, you really don't.
So?
What is it?
Telegram from Mrs. Finn. Thank you.
Ah, I wonder who this can be from.
She wants me back.
What a surprise.
Marie! Welcome to Gatherum Castle.
Why Gatherum, Cora?
Tell you inside.
Follow me. Have you seen today's banner?
I picked it up at the station.
Here.
You're the meddling duchess now. It's the same in all Slide's other papers.
Blah, blah, inevitable.
Why?
Oh, Planty wouldn't have that Weasley muckraker to my event, so he's wreaking revenge. That will soon be the least of our problems. Come along. Planty has his coalition in place, but the gloss will soon wear thin. But
you have a plan, I assume?
Of course. An enormous event, lasting weeks. Through here.
Oh. The Great Hall. I love it.
Palliser hates it. Gatherum is too grand for the Duke of Omnium, so he never comes. Which is useful, because it's also his only property big enough for what I want. We'll have dances every night, continuous entertainment in the grounds, and we'll run it over the whole summer, which is when idle hands start to stir. So we'll be able to keep an eye and squash anything that looks dangerous.
You've told Planty?
No, not yet. Oh, come and look at the bedroom. We've got 60 like this, but we're going to need a schedule. Will you do that, my love? Who's in each room, when and for how long, who's bringing wives, etc.
And where the mistresses go?
What?
We don't want any slip-ups, do we?
Marie, you are outrageous. Yes, organise that as well, but for heaven's sake, don't tell Planty.
We planned it like a military campaign, allowing for 100 sleeping guests every night and up to 200 during the day, all fed, watered and entertained. So, while the men in the coalition squabbled over what to do and effectively did nothing, we had walls knocked down, gas lighting fitted, erected marquees, built gazebos, bandstands and laid out a new archery range. And I made sure it was all more or less in place before telling Planty.
Jugglers on the voting peak?
They're for the children.
Did children somehow get the vote when I wasn't paying attention?
Happy children make happy mothers who then make their politician husbands happy and grateful. Look, my love, I know it's not quite what you like.
I prefer Darby and Joan to Vanity Fair.
Except Darby would be in Parliament all day and all night in his office, leaving Joan stuck at home with her children, servants and dogs.
You wish I wasn't in office.
All this is to keep you there.
I can see that, but you're putting yourself in the firing line.
Meaning?
The meddling Duchess. And that's just Slide tuning up.
Well, I did warn you.
And I'm warning that I may not be able to protect you.
I don't want protection. I want support.
And I'll try and give it to you if I can.
But of course, when the guests came, he scuttled off to hide in his study.
Sir Timothy, what a pleasure. Absolute delight, Mrs. Dawes.
Mr. and Mrs. Gresham, we're honoured.
And all was going swimmingly until the Drouts arrived with, to my surprise, Ferdinand Lopez in their carriage and Emily rushing ahead to bear news of an event so fortuitous and melodramatic it might have come straight out of Mr. Wilkie Collins' latest sensation novel.
Your Grace! I mean Cora! Ferdinand and I are to be married after all.
Oh, why, that's wonderful, Emily. But what caused your father to change his mind?
Ferdinand saved him from horrid robbers. Didn't you, Ferdy?
Oh,
tell her Grace the story.
Anyone would have done it.
Nobody but you.
It was by accident. I was crossing St. James's Park at night.
When he saw three terrible villains attacking Daddy, he charged in like the Light Brigade and beat them off with his walking stick.
They didn't put up much of a fight.
So Daddy could hardly say he wasn't a gentleman after that, could he?
He's here.
Oh, Sir Orlando, congratulations on Emily's betrothal to such a brave young man.
Is your husband planning to make an appearance? I want to speak to him.
Ah, not necessarily. Can I help?
I need to see him. Alone.
Then you will find him in his study.
Thank you.
From which I gathered that Sir Orlando Drought was still a reluctant father-in-law. But let's follow him now and see what a reluctant politician my husband could be.
Well, Palliser, we passed the three-month mark.
Did you place a bet on our not doing so?
No. But I do think it's time now.
For a bet?
For a bill. Something big and eye-catching. I thought more battleships might do the trick.
We have more than enough already, and the Queen brought me in to provide stability, Orlando. She said nothing about staging the political equivalent of what's currently going on in my grounds.
But a government has to do something.
Yes, it has to govern. And things need to be done because they're desirable, not because it's desirable to have something to do. So I think not. Do you mind if I close the window?
We can't do nothing for 5 years.
Why not? The economy is booming. People are calming down. Why rock the boat? Good Lord.
What?
There are monkeys in my trees.
But not in your cabinet.
What?
I am not your monkey, sir.
Oh, they're delightful. So like people, don't you think, Ferdy?
Very.
So, the hustings are tomorrow, Ferdinand?
Yes, but I'm not optimistic.
Why?
The election agent hasn't been friendly.
Oh, Mr. Spurgeon's not a friendly man, unless you're buying meat from his shop.
I was wondering if you might put in a word with him.
Oh, I'd love to, but I fear my husband would rather I didn't, so... I think your fiancé may be finding my monkeys a little too much.
Emily, be careful. I'm coming.
Paula, can I have a word? Oh, isn't love wonderful, Marie? The drought girl is stupendously silly, and yet Lopez is head over heels with whatever he mistakenly thinks she is. Do you remember that?
Vividly, but I came to warn you that her father's just come out of the house with a face like fury.
Oh, Lord, what's Plante said now? Where's Orlando?
Over there, talking to Monk.
Well, while I try to undo the damage, be a love and persuade Plante to come down and make friends. Orlando, darling, have you seen my new archery range?
Plante? Am I disturbing you?
You could never disturb me, Marie.
I didn't know you played.
I don't. How many keys are there on a piano, Marie?
88, I think.
If I can't play an instrument with 88 keys on it, what made me think I could play a parliamentary piano with hundreds? Each with a mind of his own.
The Queen thought you could. And Cora and Finn do, and I
And the Coalition disagree with each other on everything, apart from a desire to stay in power. Which is something I've never wanted, at least not for its own sake.
Which is precisely why you should be in power, and why we need you to stay there.
But I do nothing. Monk deals with money. Your husband is trying to keep Ireland happy. Drought wants great measures, doesn't care what.
You stop the tub of state from tipping over.
Oh, that would be Cora, I think. Come over to the window. I've been watching her with Drought. She's a far better politician than me.
She's not quite as scrupulous as you, if that's what you mean.
She has no scruples at all, Marie.
That's a little harsh.
Oh. She has feelings and convictions which keep her straight in the end, but scruples... Oh, there. She's pouring her very soul into his ear, wouldn't you say?
I think more ships for the Navy is a capital idea, Orlando.
Your husband doesn't.
But the ships aren't the point, are they? You can't get agreement on anything necessary, so you need big, pointless gestures to bamboozle voters with.
Precisely. Although I wouldn't use the word bamboozle.
Not to mention banking political capital for when you bid for the Tory leadership.
I couldn't possibly comment.
But resigning from the Coalition isn't going to help that, is it?
Because?
Oh, really, Orlando. Everyone knows how Tories hate a show of disloyalty. They prefer to stab Caesar to death in private.
Can you think of an alternative?
Monk's first budget's coming up, isn't it?
In a month.
Well, threaten to block it in Cabinet unless Palliser lets you have your ships.
Whose side are you on, Cora?
My husband's, of course. If you resign, the Coalition is dead.
And if Palliser doesn't back down?
Well, Monk wants his budget for Ireland, and I want the Coalition to continue. So if you'll hold back on the resignation, I'll get to work on Plante. Now, how are you with a bow and arrow?
She does it all for you, you know, Plante.
Does she?
You know she does. So, will you do something for her?
What?
Come down and talk to Drought.
I wouldn't say anything different.
Anyone, then. For a little while. She's put so much work into this. We both have. As a favour to me.
You know, Marie, I sometimes think I should have married you.
Well, I wasn't there. And if I had been, you'd still have chosen Cora.
Why?
Because she's exciting. And more than a little dangerous.
Bullseye, Mr. Boffin!
There you are, Cora.
Your turn, Mr. Lopez.
I spoke to Plante and he agreed to come out and talk to some people.
I know. I've seen him. You know who he's talking to. I mean, exclusively, since he came out.
No.
Not Drought, or Monk, or Boffin, or any of the politicians whose cooperation he actually needs. He's in the gazebo with Lady Rosina de Courcy.
Who's he? Who is this?
A tedious second cousin who wouldn't recognise the House of Commons if you stood her in front of it and played Rule Britannia. How can I keep him in power if he behaves like this?
Oh, dear, I think he's been spotted.
Inevitably. The right dishonourable Nigel Nepotist MP moving in like a blowfly. Oh, and guess there goes Major Peculation. Give it 10 more minutes and Palliser will be drowning in shameless place-seekers.
Shall I rescue him?
Oh, leave him. Teach him a lesson. I'm going to shoot some arrows and pretend the target is my husband's oh-so-scrupulous head.
Drought wants to pass a Navy bill, whether or not it's necessary.
Oh, sometimes it's necessary to do things that are unnecessary. Help me undo these stays, will you? If you'd bothered to listen to Drought properly before turning his proposal down, you might have saved me a very unpleasant 20 minutes with him.
Leave this to me, Cora, please.
If you insist.
I do. There.
Thank you. Now, come to bed.
Plenty?
Aren't you coming? Or is there something else I've done wrong?
You mean, apart from turning my house into a cross between a circus and a bawdy house?
Oh, a bawdy house.
Our housekeeper is very devout.
I know, and?
She showed me the sleeping arrangements that you'd drawn up. She was blushing bright red and spoke in euphemisms, so it took some time to get at what she meant.
Which was?
The bedrooms with asterisks next to them.
I have no idea what you mean.
I think you know exactly what I mean. And my monkeys in my trees?
The monkeys were a great success.
Your comments at the archery?
What comments?
Suggesting to my ministers that I require obedience rather than loyalty?
Oh, for heaven's sake, it was a joke.
Sending Marie to wheedle me into coming out and then laying me open to a string of grubby lobbyists?
Oh, I laid you open.
After army promotions, government contracts, God knows what else, and more or less trying to bribe me into providing them.
You took yourself off with a de Courcy hag.
What on earth has poor Rosina got to do with all of this?
I'd lined up people who mattered, and I'd have protected you from the rest. I mean, what on earth were you talking to her about?
Cork-soled sandals.
What?
Her banality calms my nerves. Anyway, she's not the point, is she?
Then what is?
This must stop.
What in particular?
All of it. As long as I remain Prime Minister, there will be no more circuses in my houses or grounds, starting now.
You can't turn out people we've already invited.
Oh, yes, I can. No more vulgar extravaganzas.
Vulgar?
Yes. And degrading.
What, am I not to have any dinners? What about diplomats?
If they're absolutely unavoidable, but I insist on seeing the guest list. Oh, yes. And the costings. I've asked the estate managers to keep an eye on the books.
Where are you going?
To my own bedroom, assuming it's not currently occupied by someone's mistress.
Of course not.
Well, that's a relief. You know, Cora, my only comfort in all of this is I stopped you meddling in the Silverbridge election.
Planty, wait, please. Dan. Whoa, easy. Mr. Spurgeon.
Your Grace! Well, very good to see you in Silverbridge again.
And good to see so many villagers queuing for your excellent meat.
Thank you kindly, Your Grace.
Are you still getting those big orders from my husband's estate?
I am, Your Grace, and very thankful me and Mrs. Spurgeon are.
And have you chosen our election candidate yet?
Well, the hustings is tonight, Your Grace.
You understand there is to be no official Palliser candidate?
I got that message from the Duke, Your Grace. It is a pity, but we do have good contenders.
Yes. But I assume we shall be safe with Mr. Lopez.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Mr. Lopez.
Why, yes, ma'am, if you say so.
Is he staying at the Red Lion?
I believe so, Your Grace.
Excellent. I'll tell him myself. Good day to you, Mr. Spurgeon. Giddy up!
And to you, Your Grace. Well, I'll be hornswoggled.
And you think that will do it?
There was a queue outside his shop, Ferdy. So by now the whole village knows you're the unofficial official candidate. You're as good as elected.
Except that I'm rather struggling with the election expenses.
But you told me you had enough.
Speculative trading is very profitable, but it requires a deal of risk-taking. And currently all my capital is tied up in shipments.
Of?
Guano.
Oh, lovely. What about Emily's inheritance?
I asked my prospective father-in-law for a small advance pending the wedding.
When it will be yours by right.
But he's refusing. Or rather, withholding.
Till when?
Quite possibly forever.
After you saved his life?
But I'm standing for the Liberals, not the Tories.
And we're supposed to be in coalition.
Except now there's a Tory candidate in Silverbridge.
What?
Didn't you know?
They never stand.
I assume Drought has put one up precisely because I'm standing.
Who is it?
Arthur Fletcher.
Arthur?
My love rival.
My God. It is deliberate. Ugh, what a brute Drought is.
So, I was rather hoping you might advance me the election expenses pending arrival of my guano.
I can't.
May I ask why?
No.
Then I shall have to go into debt.
Ferdinand Lopez was duly nominated and the Silverbridge election campaign began. But when Orlando Drought took my advice and threatened to block Mr. Monk's budget if it didn't include money for his warships, Palliser refused to back down.
No, Cora. If I let Drought have his ships, every other minister will try to advance their political careers by blackmailing me into backing whatever they want to waste money on.
And so the train of state trundles on towards the buffers, and, as if political crisis and marital discord were not enough, Emily Drought now arrives to stoke its engine.
Your Grace, I fear something terrible is going to happen because Arthur has written a letter to me and Ferdinand read it and was furious.
Well, stop, calm down. And sit. Now, this letter, what was in it?
I don't know.
But you just said...
Ferdinand wouldn't show it to me.
He opened your letter?
He opens all my letters when he comes to visit. He said we should have no secrets.
Do you open his?
No. I don't go to his lodgings. It wouldn't be proper. He said that Arthur Fletcher had insulted me, and he was going to deal with him, and left straight for Silverbridge, and since then I've been so worried I can't sleep, but I daren't mention it to Daddy, because he thinks so badly of Ferdinand, no matter how much he tries, and I fear what Ferdy might do to Arthur, because he has such a great sense of honour. I mean, Ferdy has, although so has Arthur, really, and I know how much he admires you, that is to say, Ferdy does, and so I wondered if you would speak to him before he does something terrible.
When was this?
The day before yesterday.
Then it's probably more a question of what he's already done, don't you think? If he really intended to do anything.
And so it proved, for no sooner did Emily leave, weeping even louder than when she came in, Palliser entered waving a copy of the People's Banner.
He's been arrested.
Who?
Your protégé. Lopez is all over Slide's rag. And the Silverbridge election's next week.
What has he done?
Horsewhipped the Conservative candidate.
No.
See for yourself, page 2.
What?
And there's a telegram from Spurgeon denying all responsibility for Lopez, who he claims wouldn't have been selected at all if you hadn't made it clear that I wanted him.
But I didn't.
He says you went to Silverbridge on the day of the selection and said, quote, I suppose we shall be safe with Lopez. Did you say that?
I may have said something vaguely like it,
but... deliberately... disobey me.
I am not a child to obey or disobey.
But you claim you want the coalition to succeed.
So do you, but your stubbornness over Drought's ships
don't
is destroying it.
Don't change the subject. This makes it look as if I've sanctioned the candidacy of an irrationally violent and intemperate...
Foreigner? Jew?
Man.
Lopez had cause.
So you do know something about it?
Only that Emily was here and told me Lopez was angry at something Fletcher wrote to her.
Ever more sordid. Spurgeon says Slide's still sniffing about. He obviously smells a bigger scandal.
I'll see Lopez.
No.
To make sure he doesn't speak to Slide.
No!
Plenty.
Do nothing. You've already done too much, you understand?
Yes.
Leave it to me.
What are you going to do?
And find another candidate. Make it absolutely clear to all my tenants and tradesmen I want no one in Silverbridge to speak to Slide.
I had never seen Planty so much as lose his temper before, let alone throw the Chippendales around. I was perturbed, obviously, but also I found it rather, well, rather exciting. It was so unlike him. Unfortunately, Quentis Slide was already writing a lurid story about two parliamentary candidates who fought in public because they were love rivals.
hinting that a well-known meddling duchess may have been involved. Meanwhile, Orlando Drought was refusing to bail out Lopez, and although I was strongly tempted out of guilt to do so myself, I felt impelled to obey Palliser and do nothing, which was a mistake, because Slide bailed him instead. Shortly after, I received letters from Lopez, which I obediently returned unopened. Also a mistake, because he then wrote directly to my husband.
My Lord Duke, I was promised support by your wife.
I wouldn't have dreamt of standing but for her.
I incurred expenses I cannot now meet.
As various consignments of guano have sunk or gone astray, I am now...
Poor man, and feel I have a right to reimbursement from you. Well?
Well, tear it up.
You encouraged him to spend the money. Isn't it right that I should reimburse him?
What if Slide put him up to it?
Does that remove my obligation? I'll write him a cheque today.
And even as Palliser writes the cheque, a letter he'd already sent to the Silverbridge Gazette had done its work. The letter stated categorically that Palliser's hand-picked replacement for Lopez was in no way to be considered the official Palliser candidate, which utterly confused a rural electorate already scandalised by newspaper descriptions of my involvement with Lopez. And the result? Arthur Fletcher narrowly won, and Orlando Drought took full advantage.
And so I would like to thank His Grace, the Duke of Omnium, and his lady wife for making it possible for Silverbridge to elect its first Conservative MP in history.
And, of course, little more than a day after sending Lopez the princely sum of £5,000 to reimburse his election bribes, my husband storms in with the People's Banner in hand again.
There are rumours afoot that the expenses incurred by Mr. Ferdinand Lopez during the late contest at Silverbridge were paid out of the private pocket of our Prime Minister.
I did warn you.
The Prime Minister knows that a peer should not interfere in elections for the House of Commons and should certainly not attempt to purchase parliamentary support. His Grace, the Duke of Omnium, was called upon to form a coalition because his hands were judged clean. So if they are not clean in this matter, he must surely resign. So, what do you suggest?
You ignore everything I suggest.
Cora, what do you think I should do?
Go to the House and deny it.
No, I won't lie.
Of course, silly me.
And even if I was prepared to, which I'm not, what if Slide has the letter I sent to Lopez enclosing the cheque?
Then tell them I led Lopez on against your wishes and therefore you were paying a debt of honour incurred by a foolish wife.
I won't drag you through the mud.
What, then?
I can't reply, so I won't.
But Slide is not the kind of dog to let go of a juicy bone until he's licked out every last drop of marrow. So he continues to demand a response. And when Palliser continues not to reply, Slide has one of the MPs on his payroll raise the question in Parliament.
And so, Mr. Speaker, I demand that the Prime Minister come down from the lofty heights of the Lords and tell us poor commoners exactly who paid whom and why.
So, Palliser stops attending Parliament. Then Slide reveals that he does have the letter Palliser wrote to Lopez enclosing the cheque, at which point coalition colleagues arrive begging him to come into the House and explain. So, Palliser stops seeing his colleagues, and the government grinds to a halt, with no budget agreed, as Budget Day looms.
Oh, Plenty, for heaven's sake, stop reading these rags.
It's not just Slide's papers. All the other papers have taken it
up. Of course they have. Slide owns half of them now anyway. What do you expect them to say? It's a runaway train and you're throwing coals into the boiler by saying nothing. The story is now your refusal to respond. The story is your absence from Parliament and Cabinet. You have to stop this, Planty. Blame me, please. They already think I'm a meddling woman who tried and failed to run a government.
No.
Oh, all right, then, say it was you. Daubeny made his cousin a bishop. Gresham spends his spare time allegedly saving fallen women. And what happens? Nothing. Nepotism, cronyism and dubious behaviour glue our precious national life together.
Cora, I'm not angry with you anymore, so please don't be angry with me. I'm the man you married, no more, no less.
And he was a principled fool then, and still is.
Please.
And I love you for it, even as it drives me mad. So let's stop arguing. Shall we toast to that?
Yes. You know, I dreamt last night that I resigned and we ran away together with the children to be in some pretty spot, spend time with them and live as other people live. Why don't I just resign? What?
Don't you dare. Don't even think about it.
Cora?
I kept myself away from him, invented engagements, left him alone when he needed me most, because he was threatening to take away the vicarious power I had already lost. My God, what a fool I was, and how cruel.
He's talking about resigning, Marie. After all the work we did, to throw in the towel and go into history as a principled, incompetent fool with a meddling wife?
He's under enormous pressure.
Oh, slides paid parrots squawking in Parliament. Since he took office, there hasn't been a majority against him in either House. This is all self-inflicted. What does Finn say?
He's in Dublin.
I know, but he writes, I assume.
Yes, but...
But what? Out with it.
Mom,
wait.
Come in, Marie, and do go on.
He says that even Planty's friends in the coalition are wondering if he's fit to lead anymore.
Oh, my God, has it come to this?
Mom?
Be quiet and take our things. They should have made me Prime Minister, Marie. I'd have driven rock-hard bargains for all the garters and ribbons and peerages these pathetic men slaver after. I'd have done the dirty work, dug up real power, and then, oh, done such things. I'd have been written about in history, but instead I'm being written out of it like every other woman who wasn't a queen.
Mom.
Later. Come along, Marie.
But all this is damaging him, Cora, and I don't just mean politically. So perhaps it really is time to...
Give in? Never. When does Finn get back from Dublin?
I don't know.
Oh, get him back. Planty only accepted the job because Finn told him he had to.
That's not quite what happened.
Yes, it was. So get him back here so he can do it again. And don't send a telegram he can ignore. Go yourself.
Mom.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what is it?
Sir Orlando Drought is wanting to see the Duke, but the Duke said he hasn't seen anyone, but Sir Orlando insists.
Why didn't you tell me? Send him in to me here. Please go to Finn, Marie. Now.
Very well.
I need to speak to you.
Oh, please do, but sit down first.
No, thank you. I paid Lopez's election expenses.
What do you mean?
What I say.
He was standing against your candidate and you despise him. I simply can't believe that you...
He's my daughter's fiancé. It was either lend the money or let him borrow at ruinous rates. I'm not quite the ogre you think I am. Emily begged me, and I love her above all things. I'd made her very unhappy once before, and I couldn't bear to do it again.
So Lopez had the money twice?
I'm here to confirm that. Did your husband pay Lopez's election expenses?
How do you plan to use this information?
Not against Palliser.
For what purpose, then?
To get rid of a son-in-law I never wanted, whom you helped foist on me.
Whereas you would have married her to a man she couldn't love. You know this Fletcher fellow wrote a grossly offensive letter to Emily.
He wrote a letter apologising to Emily for standing against Lopez and Silverbridge. Lopez, being a jealous and violent man, chose to see it differently. Lopez is not the man you think he is. I wouldn't be surprised to find out he staged the robbery he saved me from. He duped you. He duped me. Good day, Your Grace.
Promise to get the first boat back after your meeting, Phineas.
Yeah, promise. But I'm still unsure what I'm supposed to say to him.
Just stop him resigning. That's all Cora wants. Yeah,
to what end? Keeping Cora in imaginary power? The Palliser's blocking any legislation worth speaking about. His friends are looking to jump ship. Even Monk is. And if it's affecting Planty's mind as much as you say it is, Might it not be more friendly to encourage him to resign?
I've got to go. But listen, my love. This could be your moment. Use it.
How?
Show him the Home Rule plan. Tell him it'll rally the party. Monks, radicals, and the Irish nationalists will love it. And it doesn't require land reform, so there's no reason why our liberal landlords should block it. Or Tory ones, for that matter.
And if Palliser won't have it?
Abandon Plenty and talk to Gresham. He'll see this as his chance to oust him. I have to go. The very next boat, Phineas.
And then I was visited by another drought. This time the daughter, Emily, playing the role of Marley's second ghost.
And now none of his friends will speak to him. And he's lost his place at Coutts and been thrown out of his club because his ship sank and his father wasn't English and had the wrong religion and... And I love him so much. And now Daddy's had him arrested. And it's all your fault, Your Grace.
Well, I don't think that's quite fair, Emily.
It is fair, too. If you hadn't taken him up and persuaded him to stand and then Arthur interfering with everything.
And so it went on. Eventually, I lent her my handkerchief and, for something to say, said I would talk to my husband and sent her away, still weeping as usual. But Plenty had locked himself in the music room, so I took my guilt to its source. Looking for what? Forgiveness? Or punishment?
You're free to go, Ferdinand.
Am I?
I've paid your bail.
Blood money?
If you prefer.
But I'm not free, am I? There'll still be a trial. And my father-in-law and your husband and you will stand witness against me. And you are all very important people.
You're unlikely to be imprisoned.
Oh, yes? Why?
Your class and connections.
And my name? My complexion? My father's nationality? And do you think the prosecution will neglect to hint that I have a certain amount of Semitic blood in me? How do you think that will play to the average Christian jury who fondly imagine we killed God 2,000 years ago?
I'll speak to the Attorney General.
He blackballed me from his club when I tried to join it. And do you think he'll welcome interference from a woman who's become a public laughingstock for inept meddling?
I'm sorry, Mr. Lopez, truly. I'll go. Warder, I'll leave the cell door open.
Your Grace.
What?
It's not me who's the fraud. It's you.
And now our figurative train is about to become real. When Lopez is released, he paces the streets with nowhere to go and not a penny in his pocket. All his dreams of love and power and status as lost as he is, wandering in a London fog that leads him in circles until he finds himself at King's Cross Station.
Allow me to read that headline again, Mr. Speaker, so that it can sink in properly. Did the Prime Minister or his wife drive a fine young man to suicide? Must state an interest here. This fine young man, was to have married my own daughter. So is the Prime Minister responsible?
Never!
Is his wife?
He would never do
so, sir! Or is it a lie?
Withdraw!
How can we know when the Prime Minister no longer attends Parliament and refuses to speak to his own ministers? If Palliser is responsible, then he is clearly unfit to lead. If it was his wife, then Palliser must be held responsible for failing to control her. And if he cannot control his wife, how can he run a country?
Order! Order! Order!
If you won't make a statement in the House, let me do it for you, Plenty.
To say that it was my wife, not me.
If necessary.
And prove drought right.
Would you be resigning to protect Cora or your own sense of honour?
Then again, if I resign, everyone will assume it's because Slide's story is true. I'd be confessing to manslaughter. I'm stuck like a wasp in jam, Phineas.
Not necessarily.
So Finn tells Planty his plan for domestic home rule in Ireland.
Westminster would keep control of foreign affairs and the economy, of course, and all the military bases in Ireland that the Tories could desire.
Trout's a dyed-in-the-wool unionist. He'll leave the coalition and take the Tories in it with him.
You don't need all of them. My bill will rally our people, plus the Irish nationalists.
No.
And Planty, the reason why Parliament and the press are so focused on you is because they've got nothing else to focus on.
I won't try to make a major constitutional change just to save my political skin.
Then you'll face a confidence vote. And I can't think of a single MP on our side who will support you.
Including you?
I'm offering you a lifeline. And a place in history.
And I'm saying you can leave now.
Planty.
Go, Finn.
Well?
It's over, Cora. He's got no support. Not even me.
Where are you going?
To see Gresham.
So, the train, Ferdinand's train, Palace's train, my train, the train of state, the train of fate, finally hits the buffers.
You can't let Planty go out like this, Cora. He's been too good a man, too principled a politician.
Is it all my fault, Marie?
Not all of it, by any means.
I deceived him.
To help him?
I was furious when he told me he wanted to resign.
Understandably. And now?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sick of schemes. Will you speak to him? No.
Please.
Not this time. It's you he needs, not me.
Listen to me. I hate losing. But we've lost, and beaten armies that don't retreat get cut to pieces.
You were angry when I told you I was thinking of resigning, and now you're upset because I won't. If you can't approve of anything I do, you could at least be silent.
Well, I will not be silent. I've earned the right to speak 10 times over. Go with dignity. Leave before you go mad clinging onto power you no longer have. It's over, Planty.
But all he did was walk out of the room. And the next day when I woke, he wasn't there.
Have you seen my husband?
He left early, Your Grace.
Did he say where he was going?
He told Coachy to take him to the Commons.
Oh, Lord. Get me a cab.
Quick!
When I got to the house, Planty was already on his feet. Word had spread, and the chamber was already filling as I rushed into the stranger's gallery.
And so, Mr. Speaker, I am here to offer an explanation. To explain exactly, what happened, with reference to the money Mr. Lopez received and the promises he claimed to have received from me. I made no promises. What I mean to say is...
And then he looked up and saw me looking down.
I'm sorry. I can't. It's over. I resign.
Good riddance!
I resign.
Then he shook his head and sat down. My poor man then had to be helped out of the chamber by Finn and Monk. I met them outside, took him home and put him to bed. He slept for a day and a night, and I stayed by his side the whole time.
Oh, Cora.
How do you feel?
I don't know.
Here, sit up. Let me hold you.
What have I done, Cora?
What do you mean?
In power, I mean, did I achieve anything?
You carried on the Queen's government.
Is that all?
You held chaos back. You maintained stability and the country prospered a little because of that. And I think I helped you.
But I passed no great measures.
That's not what you were asked to do.
I'm 50. And you're nearly 40.
38, actually.
What do we do with the rest of our lives?
I don't know. We could pay more attention to our children before they stop being children altogether.
Yes, yes, but
Politics is all I know.
And bending people to my will is all I know.
Well, we must try to be contented.
Yes.
But...
Say?
Oh, surely it was a great thing simply to have been Prime Minister.
And his First Lady. The very first First Lady. The coalition collapsed. Orlando Drought made a bid for the Tory leadership and failed. There was another general election. Mr. Daubney became Prime Minister yet again, and Drought returned bitterly to the back benches. His daughter Emily spent a year grieving for Lopez, and then married her childhood sweetheart, Arthur Fletcher, and they both lived happily enough ever after. At least until she died.
So, what next?
We'll see. But trust me, we'll make it be something good. And now it's time to get up. Finn and Maria are coming for dinner. Come on. But if I could have known then what I know now, I would not have been so sanguine. Events, reconciliations, growing children, some happiness, even the late return of power. Yes, but then something else. Something that was decidedly not good.
Lady Cora was played by Jessica Raine, Plantagenet by Tim McMullen, and Phineas Finn by Edward McLeam. Marie was played by Melody Grove, Lopez by Mark Ahrens, Emily Drought by Lucy Reynolds, Drought by Neil McCall, and Spurgeon by Clive Haywood. The sailor was played by Greg Jones and the servant by Scarlett Courtney. The Palaces was dramatised by Mike Harris, based on the novels by Anthony Trollope. It was a BBC Radio Drama North production directed by Emma Harding and produced by Gary Brown. And the